Brad Hayes, we start with Paul Ryan. Now, Paul Ryan clearly was a selection of Mitt Romney because to excite the base, to get them going. And now we're hearing less and less about Ryan. I wonder why.
Well, in some ways, that's typical, right? That, vice presidential selections, there's a moment where they're in the spotlight, but then they kind of drift to the background pretty quickly. And one of the other problems for Ryan, I think, is that he is facing that difficulty of being a legislator and running for high office. It's very easy to portray legislators as wafflers, and listeners can think back to John Kerry in 2004, right? That there is a difference between a legislator's philosophy and their legislative record, right? That one of the things that we expect of lawmakers is for them to enter into compromises and to inevitably have to agree to things that they otherwise would not. Ryan is... he's a legislator. He has those in his background. And of course, the Obama campaign has been able to in some ways exploit that. His speech at the Republican convention was odd in that sense because he was attacking Obama for positions that he himself had taken as a legislator. There were issues with, opposition to the bipartisan debt commission report.
Medicare,
right, the $760 billion was being reduced in Medicare payments to providers was in the Obama plan. Well, a very similar number was in Ryan's own budget. So, there's this tension here, and it makes him look like a waffler. And one of the difficulties, I think, in particular here is that this is something that has been used, a claim that's been used against Romney, right, that he holds one position and then he will flip-flop to another one, whatever's working at the time. While Americans, I think, want politicians that are listening to them, they don't want people that appear unprincipled. Romney certainly has that problem. But now Ryan, who was supposed to be this pillar of the new right, a leader in terms of ideas, is now being portrayed as as somebody who flip-flops. And I'm not sure if that's going to stick, but it is a problem. And it's helped kind of in some ways skew the narrative of what he was bringing to the ticket.
Yeah. Very interesting. And I think your point is very well taken about this business of his legislative record. Okay, now let's talk about the swing states. What do we got?
There are a bunch of really interesting states that are in play going forward. We've seen some movement in some fringe swing states. So places like North Carolina, that seems to be less in play, more going for Romney. So we've seen some states begin to solidify. There's even discussion in the Obama camp that they might begin to pull out of North Carolina. That we'll see. But that one is beginning to swing a little bit more towards Romney.
But which of us would not think that that's the direction North Carolina was going after what we saw in the vote on gay rights?
No, I think that's a good point. But, clearly the Democrats were hoping to build off of 2008 where Obama won the state. And then the demographics of the state are changing, right? And the same way with Virginia, right? That this is a state that Democrats want to continue to hold, right? They won it in 2008. It is a state that has purpled, right? It used to be a reliably red state. And now, because of the demographic changes and the increase in population in Northern Virginia, it has become very much in play. Romney appears to have a bit of a lead there. That's a little bit more troubling for Obama.
We've seen Obama spending a lot of time in Virginia.
Exactly. That being said, the Obama campaign has to love what's going on in Florida, what's going on in Ohio. He has leads in both states. These are small leads. Actually, Ohio, I've seen it about as high as 4 or 5 points. Florida, he's about 2 points up. If he can take Ohio and Florida, the election is almost over. It's an extremely difficult path for Romney to win if Obama wins both Ohio and Florida. We were talking about Ryan just a few minutes ago. One of the few areas of impact that he has had is in Wisconsin. It did kind of shift the head-to-head polling numbers in Wisconsin by about a point and a half, but that's enough to put it very much in play. Obama still has a lead in Wisconsin, but this is an area that both campaigns are going to be focusing on intensely. I had mentioned that North Carolina would seem to be swinging a little bit more towards Romney. Michigan, which had appeared to be a little bit more in play about a month and a half ago, has swung pretty strongly recently for Obama. That looks like it's a little bit more solid. So, you know, the Obama administration has to like what's going on in the swing states. They won't win every battleground state, that's for sure. But that right now, they seem to be holding a stronger hand.
What about racism? I mean, I hate to put this to you, but, you know, race is a huge issue in the United States. And there are some things you don't tell your pollsters. There's some things you don't tell your mother. But you're a bigot. You're going to go into a polling booth and vote on the basis of race. Does that skew these numbers or make you apprehensive?
Well, there was concern about this in the 2008 election, that what they call the Bradley effect, yeah. Individuals that say they'd be willing to vote for a person of color, but then once they're in the polls, they choose the white candidate. It doesn't concern me as much because we had the 2008 election, and I'm not clear on how many people who would in some ways deny themselves would be inclined to vote for the liberal candidate anyway. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, is it a factor? Is it a question? Sure. Mm-hmm. But I think in some ways this election is going to turn more on things like mobilization at the base than it will in terms of just a handful of voters that may have indicated one thing to a poll but will act differently when they're in the booth.
One last question here. We know that there's a stalemate in the Congress. We know that you really got a problem. And Obama, in order to have a successful second term, if he wins it, has to bring the Congress with him. He has to get some seats in the House. He has to continue to control the Senate. And in American politics, we don't do that. We don't say, don't elect me if you don't elect a majority. It's not England. It's not Israel. It's it's a different story. How does he do that, or should he do it?
Yeah, well, it'll be very difficult, particularly just he hasn't been very successful at building a consensus. Now, you know, he might, in fact, attempt to work on some entitlement reform and begin to try to craft compromise there. I mean, this is one of the things that Ryan's kind of bringing to the Republican ticket, desire to reform Social Security and Medicaid and Medicare. And he might be able to fashion some type of coalition there, although I'm skeptical. I think what we often see in second terms, particularly later in second terms, is a shift towards, international affairs and really attempting to build a legacy through internationalism. Mm. And it may well be that that would be the case with Obama as well. That being said, there is, business that must get done, budgets and the like, and those all create opportunities for compromise on entitlement, on education, et cetera, et cetera.
Are we more likely, Brad Hayes, to see compromise in a second term than a first term?
That's a good question. I'm not so sure. I think in some ways it may actually depend on the perceived vulnerability of the Democrats coming out of this election. So, for example, if the Republicans take the Senate, I think they might dig in and double down. Whereas if, in fact, the Democrats can really be seen as the victorious party coming out of the election, then they may be more willing to compromise.
Brad Hayes is assistant professor of political science at Union College, PhD in government and politics from the University of Maryland, and he knows an awful lot about an awful lot of American politics and other things. So thank you so much for being with us.
No, it's always my pleasure.